Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Boom! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. It's the noon hour, and you fine folks know what that means. It's lunchtime. The lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show on The Ticket is sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue, now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 next to Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try the burn-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of delicious ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Now, we got some clips that we do want to play, so I'm going to try to go quickly. I've gotten some texts going back to the Dayton Raiola decommitting thing to begin with. I mean, there's some speculation, you know, where Dylan and Dayton kind of a package deal, maybe when Dylan was committing, and maybe now things are being reevaluated. Maybe there is a lot of money, you know, that is going Dylan's way. And maybe the reevaluation of where money goes is a part of this as well. But that's something that we won't know, you know, at least till January at the soonest. So we'll see how these things play out. I do think it's fair to ask these questions publicly. I think it goes beyond gossip into speculation. This is not a court of law, so we are allowed to speculate. I will never partake in a whole lot of gossip, only a little bit if I enjoy it, Jake. But beyond that, speculation means there's a little bit more to it. Like, we're one step away from it being real, so it's worth talking about. Again, for me, gossip is things people throw out there and just to get other people talking. That's not always a great way to look at it. I will say this. When you look at Dylan specifically, I mean, he's got great arm talent. He's got great ability. We know about all that. When you look at how he's played these first couple of years, I mean, we had Jamal Banks, all ACC, I think second team type receiver. You had Isaiah Nuor, who went to the combine and ran a 40 time that not many guys have ran at his size and weight. We had Ja'Cory Barney, a freshman last year. We got guys this year. You look at the stats, they're uber talented. Nizaya, Dane Key, Ja'Cory, other guys as well. The stats are relatively similar to a year ago. Now we're passing the ball to more guys. Like, there's more, 19 guys, I think, have caught balls this year, which is more than a year ago. But when you look at the stats specifically of these receivers, the receiving stats aren't drastically different. Despite the talent that is there, I wonder, because Dylan's got over-the-top ability, I wonder, depending on what does or doesn't happen with him, if there's a little bit, I'm just going to say, is there a game manager mentality that is maybe hindering him? And he's not going to intentionally be like, I'm going to be a game manager. Maybe it just kind of happens that way. Maybe there's a level of comfort that he's just not in at just yet. There was a point in time this year, I haven't looked this up recently, where Nebraska, when we dropped back, we were giving the quarterback over 4 seconds to throw the ball. So I can't help but wonder if maybe there's another level of comfortability or confidence that he just quite isn't at yet so we can get the ball downfield. Again, there was a two-game stretch deep into the heart of Big Ten play right before he got hurt in the USC game. We were 1 of 10 out of between two games where we had thrown the ball 15 yards or more. So we've got to be able to – you've either got to threaten the defense dynamically with your legs or you got to threaten them vertically with your arm. Because if you can't do it with your legs and you're completing a bunch of intermediate short passes, I mean, we got a really high completion percentage, 74%, okay, as a team, only behind Ohio State. But you got to threaten them with the big plays because otherwise it falls into a little bit of the game manager territory, which I think Dylan's capabilities go way beyond that. Does any of what I'm saying kind of make sense to you?
Yeah, this makes sense. And I mean, I think there's, you know, different ways to kind of break it down, because I see what you're saying, but there is, I don't want to make it sound like he didn't take a big step from year one to year two, right? I mean, he was on pace probably to break the Nebraska record for touchdown passes in a season. Last year had 13 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. This year, 18-6. He was sacked as many times in less games, obviously, this year as opposed to last year. So that's got to be part of it. His completion percent rating did go up 5%. You know, quarterback rating altogether went up. So, you know, might not have been the huge step forward and the dynamic offense that we necessarily wanted. But, you know, I think that too happened in the last couple of games. There was, you know, early on in the season, they're like the 12th ranked passing offense in the nation. So it did kind of hit a wall there. But I would have liked to obviously have seen, like we all would have, what it would have rounded out like.
Early on, they were top five, by the way, yeah. Even middle of the season. After a couple of Big Ten games, they were top five. So to be clear, I'm not indicting Dayton or Dylan. I'm looking at him and I'm saying, man, like if I'm talking to a fifth grader and the kid doesn't dunk in a basketball game, I'm not going to get on him. But if I'm talking to a guy who's 7'2" and you're wide open missing layups because you're not dunking, again, I don't know if these metaphors make perfect sense, but they're on the spot. I mean, like, why don't you just dunk it? My point is Dylan's capabilities are through the roof, in my opinion. Now, did he get better? Absolutely. He led us on two game winning drives this year.
Yeah.
With the game on the line. So I'm not indicting the guy whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. But if I'm looking at this from a business perspective, the amount of money that's been invested into Dylan, am I getting that equal and opposite return in my investment? Because this is a business. And that's where I'd like to see, obviously, he's done for the year. Hopefully, he is back with us next year. And hopefully, we continue to see those leaps and bounds of improvement because the potential is there. I define success for Dylan Raiola as an individual before the season being an all Big Ten type performer. Now, he's not going to be that due to the injury. Do you think he was on pace to be anywhere from first team to honorable mention to all Big Ten? Because that's how that was my level, the bar that I had for him. Do you think he was on pace for any of that?
I think probably honorable mention. You know, obviously, the two top Heisman contenders might be first and second team all Big Ten. So there's that.
That's
good
part of
competition.
It.
Yeah. Altmaier. I mean, there's plenty of good back, you know, quarterbacks. So. But yeah, I mean, I think he was on pace, especially for the strides he had made to be honorable mention.
Had he finished that, then that would have been my definition of success for him as an individual. Then next year I would have said, hey, now we're talking more national type things. So we have three clips, not going to get to all of them. Let's roll with the basketball one. Nebraska basketball off to a 4-0 start. Nebraska women's basketball undefeated as well. I believe 5-0 at this point. You got wrestling who they're going to bounce back. They're too talented and too good. You've got Rifle, who's number one in the country. There are Husker sports running amok, doing really good things. So we're not even going to end with my voice today. I'm going to say, go Big Red Noise. Remember to throw the bones. Play this clip, and we'll end the show with that. And make sure you tune in to the Nebraska basketball team tonight. Who are they playing again? Remind me.
New Mexico.
New Mexico. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, this is Porter Mosier, the Oklahoma coach, after playing Nebraska last time out.
They're very good. With the shooters, the execution, toughness. They got some older guys. You know, they got some older guys that have been there. Very, very good team. You'll see them in March. I really believe that. I can't say enough. You got to credit Nebraska. I mean, we won't see a lot of teams in the country that can pick and pop and shoot. And a lot of teams don't go inside the post as much. There's two things they do that you just don't see in the game a lot anymore. You don't see a lot of post-ups anymore. And you don't see a lot of pick and pop fives. We're not. And they have both those things. And I thought their movement was really good, fatigued us. It was an elite atmosphere. I thought it was an elite game. Disappointed we're on the wrong side of that thing, and we'll get better. We will get better.